CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with CRB Ely. Live on Cliff Central.
Welcome to Cliff Central. You are listening to The Threaded Exchange. It is the ladies' takeover once again. Sia is, well, technically coming back from town. So when the cat is away, the mice will play. Today we have a very exciting show lined up. The last time we did this, we spoke to the very talented and extremely dedicated Amahle Chaka, who is part of Until Until, and she was basically telling us about all things events in Johannesburg. But today we have what I like to call an aesthetician. Yeah, someone who's really, really good at aesthetics. We're going to be chatting to Lulama Wolf. You might know her from social media. She's an influencer. She's a blogger, and she's very well known for her style. So we're going to be chatting to her today about where she started, what it takes to be where she is right now, her recent global recognition, and just finding out a little bit more about her. But before we get to that, I have a young team with me here today. I have Didi, the Threaded Man stylist. How are you doing today, Didi?
I'm good. I'm excited for today's show.
Yeah?
I'm good. I'm doing great. I am excited for today's show. It's going to be pretty amazing. We have like a creative engine in the house.
You excited about it, having Lulama on the show?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, dope. And then we have Thalma as well. Thalma is work shadowing at The Threaded Man. And she's with us today. She's like come here to learn. What exactly are you wanting to take from today, Thalma?
I want to take how Lulama keeps inspired and motivated to keep pushing her brand forward and herself as a black female in today's society for it as well, you know. So maybe I could get like a couple of words of inspiration and motivation from her. And I'm actually excited to see how she's going to come into studio, you know, because we all know how she swagged out kind of vibe. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to learning and taking home with me.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself, Thalma. Where are you from? Why are you work shadowing at The Threaded Man as well?
Okay, so I'm from Angola originally. I was born there, but I grew up in Joburg. And the reason why I'm shadowing The Threaded Man is because you guys are young, vibrant, and you're fearless. And I recognize myself with that. So I like to kind of put myself in situations where, or kind of mirror people or companies that resonate with my persona. So that's why I decided to shadow you guys, because I think you guys are so fearless.
Okay, dope, guys. If you want to chat with us today and just interact with us or Lulama, just make sure that you are tweeting us with the hashtag The Threaded Exchange, or you can tweet us at The Threaded Man. We're also on WhatsApp. Send us a text on 079-748-2029. I'm really, really looking forward to having Lulama here. And she's on her way, guys. Just hang tight.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with CRB Ely. Live on Cliff Central.
Okay, guys, so a few shows ago, Sia decided that he doesn't want to host the show alone anymore. He gets really lonely. So he tweeted that he's really looking into having some of, you know, our supporters guest show on the show every Monday. So we got this text from Daryl. He's saying that he was listening to a recent podcast of The Threaded Exchange, and it was said that Sia is looking to co-host with people. I'm interested. I'm an aspiring radio presenter. I studied radio and broadcasting. I was part of the Y Academy 2016. I've had numerous contributions to radio stations such as East Coast Radio and Durban Youth Radio. It would be an honor to be a guest show on the Threaded Exchange. I hope I make the cuts. So if you are like Daryl and you would like to be a guest host on the Threaded Exchange, what you need to do is tweet Sia. So Sia's handle is at Sia Beyile. Tweet him on Twitter. If you can, send him a DM and just let him know that you are interested in hosting the show. So yeah, that is how you do it. So we're going to listen to a young song right now. And hopefully on the other side of this, we'll be chatting to Lulama already. So yeah, here we go.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with CIB. Live on Cliff Central.
We are back, and the lady of the moment is here.
Hello.
Miss Lulama, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How have you been? Come closer to the mic, please.
Okay, cool.
How are you?
I've been good.
Yeah, you said your driver took the wrong off ramp.
Dude, like, we just had a fight. I'm like, you're stressing me today.
Yeah.
Don't stress me. I don't need this.
Okay. Yeah. Well, not really fresh from a trip from Paris, but I mean, you were there recently.
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
Okay. I was in Paris for Paris Fashion Week with H&M for their studio collection. And yeah, that's why I was there. Can I just catch my breath?
Okay, Zuzu, we'll give you a moment.
Yeah, give me a moment.
Are you like together now?
Yeah, I'm together. Can I? Yeah.
Just grab some water.
Grab
do
some
what
water.
You gotta do.
How you guys doing?
We're good. But in the meantime, guys, if you want to chat to us and interact, the hashtag is The Threaded Exchange. If you want to text us, you can text us on WhatsApp. It is 079-748-2090. Okay,
yes.
So I have a long list of questions for you.
Long
Zuzu.
List, okay.
Long
let's go
list.
For it.
It's about to be a lit-ish interview.
Okay.
But to start off, your story, where did you start? Where are you from?
Okay. My name, Lulama, and Mlambo. And Wolf is a street name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something I needed to divide the people that don't know me from the people that do.
Yeah.
You know? I am from the Free State, and then I was raised in Potch, went to school in Potch Girls High, and then, yeah, that has been me, a small town girl coming through Johannesburg. I've been here for, 6 years now?
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, that's me, Lula.
Was the move to Johannesburg by choice or by circumstance?
It was definitely by choice, because I decided that, you know what, Cape Town's way too far. I don't have money to go overseas, so Johannesburg is the closest thing I need to go to, you know what I mean? So that's what I chose. I went there, I went to UJ, studied art, and then I felt that I was way ahead of my time with art.
Yes, girl!
Like, I did art since, forever.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very strong background in fine art, and I decided that, you know what, I can do this without the systematic approach to it.
Yeah.
You know, so I decided to do it behind the scenes. And then while I was at school, I decided that I needed a break.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what am I doing here and for what? What do I need from this experience, you know? Because after high school, I decided, you know what? I am going to study art because everyone else is telling me what to study.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was like, law. My mom was like, hey, choose what you want, but I'm not sure. Hey.
And I guess that's like with normal black families.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, going to varsity, there's always that stigma around like the creative choices.
Mm.
So how did you get around that with your parents?
Well, with my dad, he was literally just like, I'm out of your life, boo. Like, watch yourself, see yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you're not going to do this, then I don't know how I can come in.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, it's fine. Clearly my mama got my back.
Mm-hmm.
Mom has always got our backs.
Mom had my back, and she was like, actually do it and let's see how far you can go with it. And yeah, that's what I've been doing, taking breaks in between, still studying and just trying to finish. But it's so tough now.
What year are you doing now?
Second.
Second, so you've got what? Two more?
It's a 4-year, so...
Okay, it's 2 more. Ah, girl, 2 years goes like this.
Yeah, no, I've been making decisions in between about what to study because
yeah.
it's been business this, just business that, so now it's just time to finish. But I've told myself that I don't need to rush, man.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? I don't need to rush, especially with wasting my parents' money. I don't want to do that, you know? I don't want to waste their money. I don't want to be that person that's just like, yeah, fail every year. Yeah, yeah. And I know exactly why I'm failing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're not doing what you want to do.
I'm not doing what I want to do. So I decided that I will do it. When the time comes, I'll be grad bae as well.
Grad bae. Shout out to all the black graduates out there. You guys are doing
every
the
time
most.
I see those posts about graduation, I'm just like, yes, you guys really like rubbing it in.
I know. You must take it as a personal attack.
Don't take it as a personal attack.
Your time will come.
It's their time.
Exactly.
Mine will come.
Yes, girl. So now onto your start in the online space. What was so, you know, intriguing for you about the internet and how you could express yourself and portray yourself on the internet?
You know what, the internet, being from a small town, all you have really, well, all I had was the internet. Mm. I lived on the internet. I lived on Tumblr, actually. So that's where I started. I used to put my art. I used to write. I didn't even write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't even call myself a blogger in that aspect. But I was on Tumblr most of the time. And then I just gravitated towards what my people were doing around me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, why is it such a great deal to be on this platform? Because at that time, people were complaining about, yeah, I don't reblog. Yeah, hey, if you reblog, you're not original. So I was very confused at that time because I was just doing it mainly to entertain myself.
Yeah.
One. Two, to understand what was going on beyond where I was.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I had to use that tool to just inspire myself daily.
Mm-hmm.
And with school, my teacher would be like, you need to always come to me with something new. Every day, bring me something new.
Mm.
And the magazines didn't have it at that time. I was not going to buy a U or a Schoenwood in Porsche. I mean, what was going to happen there?
Yeah,
I was not
going
to gain anything.
Yeah.
So I went to the internet for that. I started taking it seriously in high school, and I got a call from a lady from England, and she was like, I see a Tumblr. And I'm like, Tumblr? How did you see my Tumblr?
Yeah.
You know? She was like, yeah, so you do this. At that time, I was not even Lulama Wolf. I don't even know what I was. I think I was like inspired by somebody. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was something there and I was just doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And then she was just like, I like it. And how can we work together? And that's when I started taking it seriously. I used my brother's DSLR. We were taking photos every now and then. Well, nothing serious, really.
Yeah.
And then I started Varsity. And that's when you actually gain the knowledge of what actually is going on the internet. And I was so excited. I was like, yeah, okay. At least I have a history of what's going on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to use this and move forward with it.
Mm.
And I wouldn't call myself a blogger as such. I do what they do on mm-hmm. the platform that they are on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd call myself a visual storyteller because I'm so obsessed with art. I'm so obsessed with beautiful things and things that look so good to me that I can only express it the only way I know how.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people that can write that shit out for you. And there are people that can take photos for you.
Mm.
I try to package it in a way that you don't really know what it is, but it's provocative. I'm joking.
Composition. Composition.
But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that the only reason why I'm being called a blogger is because I'm on the platforms that they use. But visual storytelling is what it is for me. Just changing the narrative for the people that I'm around,
mm-hmm.
mainly for black women and black people and as a whole, you know. And I used it to gain more because it's just the beginning for me, you know. I'm trying to do way more, something more tangible, something more life fulfilling, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm. Okay, dope. And also just like, what is it that you wanted to say? So you call yourself a visual storyteller.
Mm.
What is it that you wanted to express, that you wanted to people to know about Lulama, you know, or whatever, you know, your Tumblr name was at the time?
Yeah. So what I wanted to know at the time, I wanted to find out about myself, like where I'm from. I know I'm Xhosa, I know my parents are both Xhosa, but I just wanted to know more.
Mm.
And my grandmother did not speak the same language as I did, you know, or as I do. But she talked about Hill. What's his name? What's that guy with the beard?
The guy with the beard. There's like so many. That really narrows it down.
The guy, the mean guy. The mean
Hitler.
Guy.
Hitler. Well, I had to do the hand gesture. to remind myself who he was. But anyway, trash.
It's not a bad name to forget.
It's not a bad name, but I forgot about it because it doesn't have much of an impact in my life.
Yeah.
But anyway, I asked my grandmother, where do I come from? What's this one? And she couldn't explain it. She talked about Hitler times. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand those times. And I wanted to find out about what I am about. Mm. From home, back home, just where I come from. And I realized that we don't have enough proof of that. In my culture, you know, I didn't see enough proof of the people that influenced my grandparents to dress the way they do, mm-hmm. talk the way they do, how they slang when they did. I wanted to find proof of their existence, mm-hmm. proof of their greatness, and proof of why they were alive and how long it took for them to get to where they were. And the only thing that they had was word of mouth. When that person goes away, when she died, I don't have enough proof to know what happened to my grandmother and what happened before then. Mm-hmm. I just need to trust myself that, you know what, it was a good time.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. so now I'm trying to create proof of existence for us. Yeah. So that whoever comes before or after us decides that, you know what, this is Sim, you know, this mm-hmm. is what she contributed to the arts or to the marketing world, to the internet, whatever it is you contributed, no matter how small, there is always a trace to go back and say, this is what I've done. And that's just where I see myself and what I want to do going forth.
Do you feel that that's really what you're building and what you're creating?
In the beginning, it was not that until I found out that there's always an experience behind how you carry mm-hmm. on with your career. Mm-hmm. Because at first, you don't know exactly what... Well, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I was like, what am I going to do? You know? And I always knowing that I'm going to be an artist, I'm going to paint, but... Where do I start? Mm-hmm. How do I become an artist that doesn't get her millions when she dies?
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm trying to get my millions when I'm alive. I'm trying to see my money.
Yep, yep.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to see my money, and it's very rare for artists to get that. So what better way to use what I have to do that?
Than the internet.
Than the internet.
Can I just ask a quick question? Throughout your journey, what are the challenges that you've come across, and how have you overcome those challenges, especially as like a black influencer? And I mean, you have indirectly impacted so many lives without even noticing. So when you come across challenges, how do you overcome it?
Okay, so with challenges, right? It's not knowing what to do, you know. You get offered jobs, you get offered experiences, you get offered trips, everything just comes at you. It's just not knowing what to do, because people just offer you without telling you what to do. They're just like, mm-hmm. Here's a bottle of water. I don't know, am I going to open it and drink it, or am I just going to stare at it and say natural spring water? What am I going to do with this water? What do you want me to do with it? You're telling me I'm great, or you're telling me I'm such a great artist, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, but you're not telling me what to do. I had to find out the hard way. You know, not even the hard way, the tricky way, rather, where invoices are included, where trying to read a brief and also sending through contracts, vice versa. Because usually I'd get contracts firsthand. I wouldn't send a contract back. Mm. I wouldn't put a stamp on the fact that I'm also offering a service to you. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm offering something that I'm also doing that you want to collaborate on. So it's just learning those things, the behind the scenes of actually doing this, mm-hmm. because it's glamorous in front of it, but at the back it's tough, you know, because you're trying to get that 100% profit in,
yeah,
and not just the 50% and say, yeah, it's gonna live on the internet for what, forever, you know. When they search Lulama did a campaign with Yellow Tech, okay, it's there, you will always find it.
Mm-hmm.
But my pocket doesn't feel it.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a young break, but don't stress. We're going to be back with Lulama right after this.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with CRB Ely. Live on Cliff Central.
We We are back with Ululama Mlambo. If you didn't know, that's her real surname. Now you know. But aren't also, we're back with Lulama Wolf, and we're just going to get deeper into our chat with her. But before I do that, I want to read some of your Twitter questions. And if you want to interact with us again, the hashtag is TheThreadedExchange, or you can text us on WhatsApp. The number is 079-748-2090. Okay, so you've got a question from this guy. I think is like your biggest fan ever online. Whenever I see, like, when you post something, he's there. It's like a question. It's a question from Lihle Mtya. And he is asking, being a well-traveled African creative, how big is the chasm? I think that's the word. Chasm between us and the rest of the world.
Chasm is like a big hole or something. Big hole into the surface of the earth or something.
I'd be lying if I told you I knew what.
Okay. let me think. Okay. Let me read that question again. Being I a think well-traveled maybe it's African creative, how big is the chasm between us and the rest of the world? Okay, how I understand this question is that we are a third world country, right? And continents, other continents are first world, right? And when I narrow it down to what I do as a creative, I would say that we have a long way to go, but we're on the right track, if you get what I mean.
Okay.
So that we just need to stop doubting ourselves in what we do, especially in the arts. Yeah, we are all great and well in other industries. I'm just saying, like, in the art world, we need to stop doubting ourselves because people take themselves seriously. The moment we start taking ourselves seriously and understanding that what we're doing is impacting so many people's lives in a positive way, is the moment we understand that we're moving forward. Because we're not on these platforms to sell sadness.
Yeah.
We're not on
these
platforms to sell, like, we're broke or you're dying or Africa's shit or whatever. No, we're on these platforms to sell positivity and the greatness of our continent and what Africa has to offer. So what the problem is people, well, some people approach this in a manner in which we have to compete with the first world country, forgetting we are a third world country. And it's not even about comparison at this point. It's about understanding that we have a longer journey.
Yeah.
A longer marathon to run. But it's not a race as well.
Yeah.
So it's taking nice steps. Yes, you'll pass some people on the way. Some people want to step on you, on your toes, whatever. But it's okay. It's just a longer marathon to get to, because at the end of it all, we are the origins of what we create. We know exactly where our creativity comes from. We know that, okay, if you're Xhosa, you understand that this is what I need to offer as a Xhosa person going into a global space. And as a creative from Kenya, Nigeria, we have so much to offer because it's so diverse.
Yeah.
We've got so much to do here. And then once it goes globally, we don't get people to sell it back to us. We go that side and then sell it back to our own people, which is always great to support your own. You know what I mean? It's always great to go back to another country, learn from them. It's not that they're not doing great. They're doing amazing things because they understand where they come from. They understand that's where they are. But they don't block other ideas.
Yeah.
That's why it's easy for maybe, let's say, an American market to take from us, because they understand and see the greatness. It's just us that needs to see that.
We don't see our own greatness.
We need to be like, no, okay, we got this, let's go, let's run. Pick up everyone who's behind you and let's go. Because there's no time to stop and say, and then what? No, dog, let's go.
Let's move.
You know what I mean? Let's move. Let's go. Come.
Yeah.
Come with me. Let's go.
Yeah.
Stop doubting me. Stop doubting yourself. Stop it.
There you go, guys. Africa, we can do it. We are in our own lane and we need to own
that.
Our
exactly
lane.
Different.
Because no one else can do it like us.
No one
else. Which is very evident.
It's very evident. And as well as other people, no one can do it like them because they're owning their lane. We can't now hate on another lane.
Why?
Yeah.
Knock on the door.
No one's. If they open, they open. If they close, they close. There's always another door.
Wow, guys, this is getting like so deep.
This is so profound, man.
I know, right? But before we'll come back to the deep things, before we go there, I want to talk about just sort of brands, really. Yeah. So I just want to ask you, like, the first brand that you ever worked with, what was it? What were you required to do? How did it make you feel to have, like, a brand approach you and say, we want you?
You know, I appreciate brand alignment. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah.
Because you get a connection to the client of this brand. Usually you only get face value.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But when you work on a campaign, you work with the client. You get the connect. You get the number.
Mm.
You know, you get the conversation. You don't just get we're selling cars.
Okay, yeah.
So, and then what? You know, but when you get the connection, you work well with them. So I worked with the car brand my first time with Titi and Teta actually hooked me up with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, we're doing a Fiat social media campaign and come through. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I did not know what was going on, by the way. I was like, whoa, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
What am I saying to people? Am I saying I like Fiat?
Mm.
Am I saying I'm there to drive a car? As in my dream car? What am I doing here?
Yeah.
You know? So, but I took it because it was my first one and I wanted to understand and like what's going on. So that's what I did. I went to learn. I asked the questions. I was like, okay, so what do I do?
Mm.
And then she told me, she was like, okay, this is what you do. This is how you go about it. And I'm like, but I am not really where you are in terms of the blogging space and how systematic it was at that time.
Mm.
And because she was the only blogger I knew at that time, she's
like one of the OGs.
Yeah, one of the OGs that taught me, you know what, do this and this and this and that.
Yeah.
And then I did it. But then I also used my own way of doing things because I knew myself. I know myself and I know what I want.
Mm.
And that was my first one. And always, for me, it's always talking to the client. Cut the middleman out.
All right. You know, all right.
That was I'm very
get
grateful
for that.
Get
the information firsthand.
Yeah. Get the information firsthand. Learn about the brand. That was, for me, a very great experience.
Okay. This is a question that I just thought of now as you were answering. You said, cut out the middleman.
Mm.
Talk straight to the client.
Mm.
That kind of says something about your thoughts on agencies.
My thoughts on agencies. Agencies are always there for a reason.
Mm.
There's always a time and place for everything.
Yes.
And it's not that they don't matter or they're not supposed to be there. That's why you can actually understand that I can actually say today, cut out the middleman.
Because
I learned from them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I learned from the agency. It's just that now I understand where I am.
Mm.
And it's always a good time to let go of what you don't see fit at that time.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, I did need an agency to help me out with the ropes.
Yeah.
But now I don't. And that's okay. That's also okay to understand that I can also cut out a middleman and move on with myself because I've learned what I wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not saying I'm being selfish, I'm being arrogant or just trying to keep all the money to myself. It's just that I understand what to do now.
Mm.
And they taught me that. And they should be happy that they taught me that.
Yeah, but what you're saying is like so relevant because that's from what I've seen and, you know, the work that we do, that's where things are going.
Yeah.
So I feel like agencies either need to readapt and to survive or something is gonna go wrong in terms of their placing in this whole chain.
In all honesty, I think that agencies have an idea. And they know that idea very well, you know, and they go about it because it's a traditional thing that they used to. I mean, PR, we've been doing this. Who are you to come tell us that you're going to cut us out?
Yeah.
You know, but once you learn from them, they forget that when I leave with the information you've taught me, I can only do one of two things. I can either flop or I can do better, you know, and there are only a few people that know how to do that or that understand that this is what needs to be done because it's time we endorse our own brands. It's time we endorse our own brands. Yeah.
Okay, dope. So also, it's just sticking around the brand conversation. The best brand that you've worked with.
Do I have to say the name?
You don't have to say the brand's name, but you can say the situation why you feel that working with this brand changed me or what I do for the better?
Okay, I worked with a brand, I think, like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such an amazing experience because the casualty. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not in a 9-to-5 environment where I don't have to answer your emails at 9 on the dot because you just got to the office.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Understanding that I am a creative, understanding that we have to meet each other halfway.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to force me to do something. I don't have to succumb to your needs all the time. And that's what I loved about it, the casualty behind it. They knew that they were a bigger brand than I was. Mm-hmm. They knew that they were offering me something I needed, but they also understood that I'm here because I want to do this, and I'm just here to just do it casually.
Mm.
I'm not gonna enforce myself with strict rules and say, also me, I'm going to clock in at 9, and also me, I'm going to answer your emails at 9 a.m. and then 9 to 5. I can answer emails at 10 if I want.
Mm.
But you need to understand that we're gonna get the work done. As long as the work is done, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really what I appreciated, the understanding of where I was.
Okay, and then a brand that you would say you got the most from, it can be a campaign as well, but something that you did with a brand that you feel you got so much from that experience that you'll actually never do things the same.
Yes, there is a brand. Because you know, there are brands that just think you are just there to post. Forgetting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 3 tweets a day for the next 2 weeks at 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Yes. This is the hashtag.
This here's the copy. Hashtag brief. Everything.
Yeah, I know it's
we don't want to hear your name. Just post it. And I'm just like, okay. But there was a brand I worked with and they taught me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the office every week. I was doing some art direction for the campaign I was working for. I was taking the photos. I was learning from the marketing directors. And we were chilling and we were understanding what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And now it created a transfer of skills where I can still work with them without being on social media.
Mm.
I can still go into the office and they can say, Dulama, we have another campaign for someone else though.
Mm.
But can you art direct and give us a concept or a mood board for that?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yeah, no, I'm willing to do that, and that's what I get paid for. But people don't know about that, and that's fine.
Mm.
It's just that now there's a transfer of skills behind it, and that's for me is great.
Okay, cool. And then last question about brands. A brand that you'll never work with again. What happened?
There are quite a few.
Yeah,
like I said, like not understanding where I am and trying to force your trying to force the fact that you're bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
is
sort of like a you need us, you need more than us, we need
more
you
than we need you, yeah, type, yeah, of approach. And that for me was just like ish.
Bad vibes.
Bad vibes in Jay. Mm-hmm. And automatically that's the kind of person I am. If you give me bad vibes, I give bad vibes back.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing what, I only ask questions after the bad vibes. Like, it's like, what was going on with you? Tell me what's wrong with you. You know, but at that time I was very like on the fence about that because it's a brand and they're enforcing all these rules on me. And I was like, you know what? Let me chill. I'll learn from this somewhere.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We have another question from Lihle again. Okay. He's asking, are we doing enough as African creatives to vividly portray the beauty of our continent? Such a good question.
Such an amazing question. What are we? We are doing what we can, but we're not doing enough. I don't think we're doing more than enough.
Mm.
I don't think we're doing more. I think we need to do more. And to portray the beauty of our continent, we need more people that need to collaborate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, collaboration is key for me. And I think that if you bring a group of people together, you get so much more and you get the best out of those people, yeah, because they know what they're bringing to the table.
Yeah.
It's not about shunning someone down and saying, yeah, you're just going to sit there. No, it's bringing stuff to the table and then we can go forth. I just think that right now it's an each man for himself because we're all still trying to get it.
Mm,
you know, we're all still trying to understand what the hell we are doing because it's still fairly new to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all still trying to understand, okay, this is what happens. This is how we deal with the corporate side of it. This is how we deal with the internet as a whole.
Yeah.
And once we get that and once we trust ourselves, we can do more.
Yeah. So with reference to taking reference from Lisha's question, what do you think is the current state of fashion in South Africa?
Current state of fashion in South Africa. South African fashion. You know, fashion is something that I love. Mm-hmm. But I want to have an informed opinion about it without sounding too pompous.
Mm-mm.
You know, I want to have an informed opinion about it because fashion is something that I think I use to express myself. And this is just speaking for me.
Yeah.
But if I speak for someone else, I'm going to say, if I don't like it, I just don't. Mm-hmm. And right now, I'm not liking a lot. You know, there's a lot of self-doubt and just... It's okay to be simple, but just to not care,
is
also another thing. Fashion is You also asking this question.
It's a bit tricky, or what?
It's tricky, man. It's really tricky because there's so many great things we can offer.
Mm.
Like, we know what to do. We know what to do. It's just execution, I think.
Yeah.
I'd just like to know, you said that you mentioned that you just left from Paris Fashion Week. And I'd like to know, what did you learn from there that you can bring to here and possibly contribute to something even greater?
Yeah, individuality. Mm. Owning who you are. I am so obsessed with that. Like, when you walk down the streets of Paris and you see just a guy, literally he just threw a whole thing on him and he's wearing these beautiful sneakers, they're dirty but they're beautiful, and he's just walking and he's owning his individuality. Yeah. And it's so amazing that everyone can do that. It's not that we all have to look like a certain group of people. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to look like a bodycon girl all the time.
Yeah.
If you really like something, you really like it. Just make sure that you know what you're doing and it looks good. You know what I mean? I don't know. But I just really like the individuality, that side. I really liked how people owned who they are. I mean, some girl was wearing some big-ass thing on her head and I was like...
And she was like, I'll rock this!
To kill all of us. You are going to bump all of us, but you look good. You know? You look good because you're owning it. You know, you look good. But then there are people, obviously, that you just don't get. But because they're so confident, you're like, why not? Can I? Why am I hating on this person? They know who they are. They know what they want. So why am I interfering with their greatness? Do you, boo?
You know? Boo. Just to talk a little bit more about, you know, just this global idea. You've recently been covered on Who What Wear and Grazia. I think it was Grazia UK.
Yes.
Yeah. Sort of basically as an influencer that you need to follow on Instagram, someone that you need to look out for. How did that make you feel?
I was shocked. I was like, me? Okay. Ooh, I don't resemble a traditional, you know, like, no. You know, like.
I don't know.
I also don't know, but I don't know how to explain it. I was like, okay, what am I doing right? I need to find out what it is I'm doing right now.
Mm.
I need to understand what it is going on right now because I never expected it.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly did not. Even the trip to Paris for me, it was my first time going to Paris, and I was just like, first of all, I need to look at the architecture around me. I need to look at the people, and I'm going to Fashion Week. What?
Mm.
You know? So the pressure of just understanding. Mind you, when I got there, I was like, where am I? Where am I?
Yeah.
Because...
You took stock.
The culture there is easy. Everyone knows what they're doing. Paparazzi is on your ass. Celebrities walking in and out of restaurants. Showrooms. It's busy. And you are just this girl from South Africa who's standing in the middle of fucking, I don't know what they call it. And you're staring at these people and you're like,
how did I get here?
Yo, like. You honestly, I had to. I was like, get your life.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did. The moment I thought about it, I snapped out of it. And I owned who I was. And at that time, I was people were running around after me like, your braids, your braids, your braids. And I was like, she liked my braids. You know, you're like, yeah. Braids, and I was flipping them all around. I was walking with such confidence. Yeah. And that's how people came to me. And I was like, all you need is confidence. That's all you need. You need people to see that you don't doubt yourself. It's okay. And then you find, and then I was standing in a line, and then Nicki Minaj walks past me. And I'm like, you, Llama. okay. I'm going into the same venue as Nicki Minaj. Behind me, you know those Beyonce's twin dancers, those guys?
Yes, they're twins.
And
yes.
Then they're standing next to Luca Sabat. So I'm obsessed with Luca. And I'm like, behind you, girl, you're going to die. I'm talking to myself because I was alone at that time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, who am I going to wild to? Oh, you can't wild now, girl. Shit. Okay, keep it calm.
Yeah.
And you look back and they're like, I like your braids. I'm like, yes.
Of course you like my braids.
Oh, yeah. But so that experience altogether for me was just shocking. And I understood that I can do more. I can go further.
Yeah.
Why not?
Okay, Zorb. I know Thelma asked you something earlier, and I told her keep it for the show. I wanted to ask this question again because I feel like it is so fitting right now.
The question was, how did you know, or when did you feel that you had the juice like that? You know, through social, you might not recognize it, but the response that you get on social media, people love you. So
I never knew. I've never known that I was a shit.
Like, even when you walked down the street, the way you had, like, what do you call that moment? A gay moment or a fan-based moment or formal moment when you saw the twins
and Nicki
Minaj.
Yeah.
I bet thousands of people have that same moment when they see you walk down the street.
You know?
So how do you feel? Like, how does it make you feel?
How you feel?
And I was like, I've never thought I was a shit. But I did know that I'm cool.
Yeah.
I never thought I was bigger than anyone, but I knew that, like, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Yes. But I never knew.
Don't touch me. Cool.
But only based on the fact that the things that I liked are cool.
You know,
the things that I like are cool based on the people that like that. And I was like, if that's cool, I'm cool. But I've never really took myself for anything bigger than what I am. You know, but it's okay. I mean, I'll get there. I'll love myself better, you know. But I don't think a big hit is going to come through anytime soon because I'm still shook by so many things that happened to me. I think that's the key
to it all. I mean, like, your Beyoncés will still tell you that they get shook by Stevie Wonder, for instance.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So I think it's never something that you'll lose, but it's something that'll just keep firing you to just be better all the time.
It's so... When someone, like, let's say, approaches me, oh, Llama, you Llama? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, I love you so much. I love you so much. And I'm like,
I feel like I did the same thing to you when I was in varsity. You were at Delia's and I was there as well. And I was just like, shit. And I was just like, look, she's eating. Like, relax yourself. Be calm. And I was like, okay, I went to the bathroom. And then on my way back, I was passing you. And I was just like, look, I'm about to leave. So if I don't holler now, it's going to be too late. I remember you were so sweet. And you were like mid putting the spoon in your mouth. And I was just like, fuck.
Like, I get so nervous when that happens to me. I'm like, yo, what do I say? But then I ask the name. I'm like, yo, so what's your name? I want to know about you.
The crazy thing about that is you don't know that she's going to react like that. You think that she's going to be like, why are you talking to me? I'm eating. Yeah. Can't you see? But then they turn out to be the complete opposite than what you thought they were going to be.
Yeah, and you were very sweet, I remember.
Thank you. Yo, I'm so glad you caught me on a good day.
Yeah, I was just like, because I have this thing. It's just like when I see people that I've been watching on the internet for a while, or, you know, anything, like, I always feel like, maybe just say hello, because it's going to be funny now if I'm like, if I saw you 2 hours ago and then I tweet you, oh, saw you earlier at such and such a place. That's like, for me, that is maybe like the weirdest thing.
I would rather
tweet something like, oh, thanks for saying hi to me earlier.
Also, when you're in that space and then you can actually see someone see you.
Yeah.
And then when you get that tweet, like, that was her.
So you guys know. You be knowing.
You know. It's just that, like, you don't know, like, what must I do?
Hey, guys. Okay, guys. No, we have to wrap up the show now. We've got about, I think, a young 5 minutes left. Okay. I just want to quickly ask you, what is the end goal for you? Do you know, you know, your end goal yet?
Yes, I do. I do know my end goal. I am going back into art as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be doing less blogging, and I'll still continue visual storytelling as per usual. But I want to start painting again.
Nice.
You know, I want to use my hands again. I have been using my hands. It's just that no one knows about it. It's just that I want to show the world what I have to offer in that world. And it's a nervous time, but we will do it, and you'll see it.
Yes. Yeah.
Hopefully you like it. Hopefully you'll appreciate it.
I think there are like people that are like, you can do no wrong.
You know,
like yeah. Whoever will like be walking in the street and she'll spit, people be like, oh my god. I'm joking. That was a bit gross, but
yeah. That was no ew.
What? Exactly. But you know what I mean.
I do. Yeah.
Sims asked me at the beginning of the show, what am I looking forward to taking home with me from this experience?
Yes.
And I said, I'm looking forward to meeting an exciting, brave, fierce young woman.
Yeah.
And what I'm looking to learn from this is to possibly be a stronger and better individual and like better my craft. And I'm glad to say that, yeah, that's what I'm going to take home with me.
Oh, cool. Didi, cool. Do you have a closing question?
Not a question, but it's just like appreciating like how, because I remember when I was in high school, I used to see you on like Tumblr. And I'm like, oh my God, you're so cool. I'm like, I want to grow up. I want to be Lala. But I just want to say that we see your strides. We appreciate you. Shine forth and we'll always clap.
Thank you so
hey,
much.
And in that same spirit, at Tato JK says she doesn't have a question for you, but she just wants to tell you that thank you for not giving up on your dreams and thank you for inspiring us.
Thank you,
Tato. And I have one last question. I watch a lot of bloggers like online, and this is something that Aisha Baker and Twiggy had said, you know, in different interviews, that if you are aspiring to be a blogger, influencer, anything like that, you need to find what you're passionate about. Like if you're passionate about being a mom, if you're passionate about reading, find that thing and sort of run with it, and
I agree.
You know, that can be a passion. Would you say the same thing, and sort of any other advice that you have for someone who's aspiring to sort of be like you?
I agree 100% about finding what it is you're passionate about, because I had to do the same, because I was being thrown titles at me. You know, when people just throw titles, you're a blogger, no, you're a lifestyle blogger, no, you're this blogger. So when did I tell you that? When did you ask me what I actually do? Because people aren't really sure, and the only way to package it well, and even on the internet when you Google it, it's blogging, and that's the only way people identify as to what we do on the internet. But once you find what it is you want to do, you need to package it well and run with it, because you can be anything within that space. It's just finding it and going on.
Find it and run with it.
Yes.
So that is it for today's installment of The Threaded Exchange. Sia is back with you next week. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tweeting us. Thank you, Lulama, for being here. We really appreciate it. I think we've all gotten so much from this chat that we had. And we wish you all the best. And we are signing out.
Cheers, guys.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Threaded Exchange with Sia Bailey. Live on Cliff Central.
CliffCentral.com.